From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Tuesday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Farm, Neil McCready, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Good bit to get to today. CJ Johnson is our guest. He is a graduate assistant at Florida Atlantic. He's been in East Mississippi, so you probably saw him on Last Chance U if you were checking that out as if it was released, the Netflix series. And, of course, you know him for being the five-star recruit that signed with the Rebels, flipping to Ole Miss from Mississippi State in the last month, and then being a key face of the program and a leader for a while with Ole Miss. So he's joined us a good bit on the podcast. Back today as we will discuss Hugh Freeze, Matt Luke, what it's like with Lane Kiffin, and more with CJ here in a little bit. Yesterday, Matt Luke met the media for the first time as a head coach. Wesson McGriff spoke to the media as well. He is now an associate head coach. He was given that title even though the pay stayed the same. And players spoke as well. The three that were media day spoke on campus to the media, those of us that were assembled. So that and more today on the podcast. Again, good bit to get to. But before we do that, tell you to check out the Oxford Exxon and the Oxford Crystal on Highway 6 West. Proud sponsor has been with us for a really, really long time. So hand-spun milkshakes at the Oxford Crystal, chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, and Oreo for these hot days that we are having as we're getting into August in Mississippi. Also, the slushes that are going on, you got green apple, you've got grape. They are Kool-Aid slushes. They are made with Sprite. And now the spicy chicken is back in the mix and match 5 for 5 for your lunch and dinner options. So do that. Head on over and get some gas from the Oxford Exxon Ribs Lunch Specials, $4.99, and more there. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900 is the number. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell him what new Ford you're looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. It's that easy. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line, right from the get-go at Clark Ford. You can get your quote, you can shop it, or you can take our word for it and take the word of so many of our podcast listeners all over the South who have done exactly that. And that's let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. And at the end of your deal, say, hey, Corey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden, which indeed is finally up. It's my fault because we talked to Neil Stratton last Thursday. I don't know if you remember last Thursday. It was about 6 years ago, and a lot of stuff happened later that day. Anyway, it's up. It's an NFL podcast. If you want your NFL fix, it's there. Mention either one of those podcasts. $500 off the bottom line. Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
So many places. First, a little site news. We put this on the board this morning. If you are a subscriber, if you're an occasional reader, if you're one of the new people that is checking us out for the first time, you've seen a lot of Russell Johnson's recruiting content. He's done a fabulous job the last few months, and he's been doing it from Akron, Ohio. So now he is moving to Oxford. He will be on the ground locally starting about the middle of next month, just in time for high school football season. So it's going to get even better. So we're proud to announce that, having him join the team on a more close basis there. So again, Russell will move and continue to improve what has already been really, really good recruiting content. I know that people right now aren't overly interested in recruiting with everything else going on, but things will normalize, and he'll be around to handle it when it does. So yesterday,
yeah, we sort of threw him into the fire.
Yeah. I had time to just go, hey, jump in here and see what happens.
We didn't really know this much fire was coming this soon. Cover all these commitments from a staff that's trying to, from a PR standpoint, lock kids in and get kids going and stuff like that, and then it falls apart. Now he's covering decommits, which means he'll have to cover new commits. We don't know who the coaching staff will be December 1. There's a lot there.
So yesterday, interesting day. We had press conferences. We'll talk about those a little bit, some details. You can also read about it at rebelgrove.com. A lot of content on the site. Then yesterday afternoon, kind of a joint effort. A lot of stories coming out, a lot of media stuff, coming out in regard to Ole Miss, most with some negative connotation, if you had to categorize it. So we'll get to these one at a time. We'll start start with the basis of the press conference yesterday. Matt Luke comes in, clearly emotional, something that because of his family history he's been, I'm sure, striving for a really, really long time. It's always nice to see people get what – good people get what they have hoped for. And I thought what the big thing for Matt, I thought what – the two things that stuck out to me from a positive standpoint were, A, he put an emphasis on the players because – these players are going through something they did not sign up for. These players are going through turmoil that was never expected. So doing anything you can do to assist the players through this process is paramount. It is job one. As we've talked about a lot, as Matt discussed yesterday, he was that player at one point in a way. So he's been through this. He has some understanding, as Walker Jones said yesterday. If you missed yesterday's podcast, listen to that with Walker. And then two, everybody's going to talk about Matt Luke and his chances to become the permanent head coach. We'll get to that. We'll get to that plenty over the next few months. But yesterday, the one thing Matt did was he just categorized himself as a head coach. And I think that's important because I think if a person thinks about the interim, it affects how you do the job. There's an end point to it, at least psychologically in your head. Like, look, Matt understands the process. He knows he's not guaranteed anything. He knows that he's got to win games and he's got to manage a program effectively to be in the race to be the head coach. No matter what, for Matt, though, this is a personal opportunity and a professional opportunity, whether it's at Ole Miss or it's somewhere else.
It is that for certain.
Yeah, he gets to run an SEC program for 12 games in a regular season and a camp and recruit and do everything that he would do as a head coach. So you go into that day by day just going, look, I'm the guy until they tell me I'm not the guy. Yep. And I'm going to do 100% of everything I can do to just handle that, and then we'll see what happens at the end of the day. I thought those two things he handled really well, and then he also did two other things. He was just himself. He didn't try to do too much. He didn't try to be more charismatic or less charismatic than he normally would be. He was himself, and I can say this with certainty, I'll be shocked if Matt Luke does anything to embarrass the University of Mississippi.
Well, that won't happen.
Yeah, no.
I'm working on a column about it that is a common sense column.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be popular on some of the other team sites. I think people get carried away with emotion in this, and I understand that. I do. It's a very simple premise. You hire Matt Luke as the full-time head coach if you think he's the right full-time head coach. You don't hire Matt Luke to be the head coach because he loves Ole Miss. You can go out and find a lot of people that love Ole Miss. You don't hire Matt Luke because he gets emotional talking about Ole Miss. You can find a lot of people that will get emotional talking about Ole Miss. You don't hire Matt Luke because his dad played at Ole Miss, because his brother played at Ole Miss, because he grew up going to Ole Miss games. I'm not belittling any of those things. I'm sure it will be taken as that. But you hire Matt Luke if and only if, over the course of this season, it becomes clear, not through wins and losses, because I'm telling you, wins and losses don't matter much. And Ross Bjork basically said as much yesterday. Not in those words.
Said there was no criteria along with a record that had anything to do with it.
Exactly. You judge it by the product he puts on the field, the way that they play, how prepared they are, how focused they are off the field, classroom attendance, recruiting, organization, all of those things. You don't base it on, and I'm going to be a little hyperbolic here, okay? Let's say Ole Miss and Vanderbilt are in a 21-20 game with 7 seconds left, and Ole Miss lines up to kick a 42-yard field goal to win the game. Okay?
It's blocked.
Goes wide right. Blocked. Bad snap. Bad hold. Miss kick. Are you really going to base a decision on 7 seconds? Or are you going to base a little bit more of the decision on the kick is blocked? How prepared are they the next week to play again? How does he handle recruiting in the hours after that game when obviously there's a lot of disappointment? How does he handle the locker room after that kick's blocked? You don't get hung up on the game. There's too many people out there. Well, you know, six wins and no. That's not how you make a long-term decision. What if it's the most prepared, organized 4-8 team in the history of football? Maybe he's the right guy. What if it's 7-5 or even 8-4, but it's full of off-field crap? And it's obvious kids don't really buy in. They just win some games. Well, then that might not be the answer. You don't do that to yourself from the get-go. Ross Bjork's not doing it. That was obvious yesterday. I think Ross is a pretty pragmatic guy. That pragmatism will serve him well in a search. He likes Matt Luke. It's our educated opinion that they targeted Matt Luke for this gig back in December. They've known this was coming. They had a structure in mind. Matt will not do anything to embarrass Ole Miss. I don't think he'll do anything to embarrass anybody. I think he'll do a really good job. But you base a decision on the job that he does, the way that it feels, the way that it looks, not the emotion of his affection for his alma mater. That should not be a factor. And when people go, well, you know, if he did well, he'd never leave. You don't base that. You don't marry a girl because you think, she'll never leave me. Marry a girl because you love her and that's who you want. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to be smart. Fans get emotional. I understand that. I compared it to the Cubs when Ryan Sandberg was the candidate and Theo Epstein didn't want to hire him. And so right off day one, he just said, we're not hiring Sandberg. Why? Because that wasn't the right guy for the direction they were going. I'm not saying Matt Luke is not the right guy. I'm not saying he is. It's way too early to even possibly address that. But when people already are calling for, in writing, you should take the interim tag off, make him the head coach, that is one of two things. That is either you are an emotional fan or you are kissing his ass. One of the two things. It is not a pragmatic, rational thing to say yet. You hire him because he's the right guy. He's the best guy, and you don't know that yet.
Camp starts in 8 days. That's when we will at least get the first look at him operating something. He said that 95% of the system would basically stay the same. Phil Longo is going to run the offense. Weston McGriff is going to run the defense, and they're going to hire an offensive line coach. That's where this thing is. He said he would like to get an offensive line coach hired by the end of the week, and he would let us know when that happened. From a pay standpoint, Matt Luke makes $660,000 a year. That will continue to be his annual salary.
Right.
And then he will receive an extra $500,000 as a lump sum spread over the course of the 12 games over the football season.
Now and the Egg Bowl, yeah. He'll get $500,000.
So his total annual salary will be a little over $1 million. However, the $660,000 still keeps coming in the same check, and then they add $500,000 in some payments to it. So there's that.
Wesley McGriff's compensation package did not change.
And he is on a 3-year contract where he makes $1 million this year, $1.1 next year, and $1.2 the following year is Wesley McGriff's contract.
Yeah.
So there's
– in many ways, I think offensively they're going to be a better football team because Hugh Freeze isn't going to interfere.
No, Longo will just run the offense.
And Hugh Freeze was going to interfere.
It was going to be disjointed because they were going to struggle with that.
It was going to be a cluster is what it was going to be.
Think so.
It was going to be an absolute train wreck from a strategic standpoint. Because Freeze was going to get involved. And now he won't. Now it's Longo's offense.
It's got to be more comfortable for Phil Longo today.
More streamlined. It's yours. It's your game plan. You're going to call it.
You and...
one less voice.
This is you and Shea Patterson going out there and seeing what you can do.
Yeah. You're going to have Derek Nix and Jacob Peeler, and someone's going to be up in the box noticing some things for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have an offensive line coach that's brand new who's going to walk in going, now your name is, hey, 74. I mean, this is yours. It's your offense now. It's you and Shea. And I thought, and we'll get to this in a minute, I thought Shea's answers were interesting. We're about to go into an interesting, really, really, really interesting 4 months on the beat here.
Yeah. So Matt was good. He said everything that he said fans wanted to say, and then when you picked apart his answers a little more, he said things that should make the pragmatic fan comfortable as well.
Yes.
So he was good. I thought he was exceptional yesterday with what he had to work with. I thought Ross Bjork was incredibly comfortable and solid again yesterday.
More at ease than I've ever seen him.
Thursday and today, or yesterday. Hanging out.
Read into that what you will.
Just hanging out.
I know what I read into it.
He was relaxed. He was funny. He was talkative.
Forthright.
There have been days where Ross has been in rooms with the media and he kind of wanted to get – he was being nice and he was doing his job, but he was ready to get out of the room. I think he would have hung out and had a burger with us yesterday.
Yeah.
He was just chilling.
Yeah.
Made a baseball joke with me as he was leaving the room, yep. Like just hanging out.
If you had a question, you got it answered.
Yeah.
And if he couldn't answer it, he was the way you should be. I can't answer that, and here's why.
Yeah. Kind of like Thursday, he just hung around the room and kept talking to people as long as they wanted to talk to him.
We need to do that now.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think there's going to be leaks in this coaching search. So, for you, the consumer, here's what that means. We are going to get some misinformation outside. We're going to have to depend on outside sourcing, which is good for us because we have a lot of it. It will occasionally be at least partially wrong. Okay? Those of you who despise me and love to point out every time that I get something wrong, the next 4 months will be bonanza for you because we will get some things wrong. We will correct it as soon as we possibly can. We will also get some information correct that other outlets will shoot down as wrong because they don't have the same sources we do. I'm not going to do that for 4 months. Chase isn't going to do that for 4 months. We are not going to compare and contrast and confirm and deny other media reports. We're just going to report what we have. That's all we're going to do. We're pretty good at these coaching searches.
Yeah, if you like kind of the drama and the circus of it, these next few months will be good for you. You'll have a good time.
And we're the place to be, and we don't have an agenda.
No.
I'm not going to campaign for a coach. And that's not a criticism of Matt Luke. Again, I think there's a real chance that Matt Luke ends up being the right candidate for the job. We're not going to campaign for him. We're not going to campaign against him either. We're going to report.
So, let's jump into this real quick, and then we'll get into a couple other things.
All right.
Anything else? Let's do this. Finish up here. Anything else with Ross that stuck out to you yesterday? Obviously, you know, he said he's like any athletic director in the country. He's got a list in his drawer, but past that, nothing else has happened. He
also said something really interesting, and this dovetails into another item. Unless you've been living under a rock the last 12 hours, you know that Ole Miss received the NCAA's response to the NOA.
Right, yeah.
So everything's on a time frame. Ross clearly indicated they'd love to go fast. I think they would love to have an August hearing. I don't know if that's possible.
We're looking at August, early September, somewhere in that realm.
They'd like to go as soon as possible. Why? Because as soon as you have the hearing, you're on a 6 to 8 week clock.
Yeah, I think he'd like to hop on the jet tomorrow.
Yeah. He said that one of the things they definitely want to do is to be able to have in writing, here's the final thing. This is it. This is what we're looking at. This is our punishment, the sanctions. This is where we are moving forward. To hand to potential candidates so that they can completely understand not some nebulous crap out there, reality, black and white, on a piece of paper. Here's what you're looking at.
Also can hand it for good or bad to kids before early signing period.
Yes. And I do think that they want to have this done as quickly after the Egg Bowl as humanly possible because of the December signing period.
Yeah.
Now, they won't rush it based on that. And that's another
December thing. December 20th-ish.
Yeah, and that's another thing. When I hear people go, well, you know, if you don't take the interim tag off Matt Luke, you're going to screw up your recruiting class. You don't make a decision based on one recruiting class. I understand that every recruiting class is critical. You just don't make a decision, a long-term decision, based on one recruiting class.
Yeah.
But thought that was interesting. I just kind of thought he was, for the second time in a row, remarkably calm, remarkably composed, and very much in charge of the room, which was interesting because 2 hours later, and I'm jumping around and I'm probably messing up your schedule here, Chase, 2 hours later, a barrage of media stories came out that, at least in part, attempted to paint him as incompetent.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's take a quick break here. Tell you, Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you can local underwriting and understands your market. Also, the leader in condo financing in Oxford. Ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact him at 662-234-2704. Or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's HarryAlexander.com. You can filter through by what you're looking for. The results are updated daily. Then you can send him an email and he'll take care of the rest. HA@HarryAlexander.com. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. It's right off Interstate 55 in Grenada. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans. Great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybiz.com. They are looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or close to completing the business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Email Ben today. Again, benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. The podcast is also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South owned and operated by husband and wife duo Kyle and Jordan Thornton. Both Ole Miss alums, avid fans, 7 South is equipped with the largest staff in the Grove. They can service most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC only packages, full season packages, rental packages, or fans can provide all their own gear and 7 South will set it up for them. They offer complete setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year-round storage, and more. They'll set you up in the Grove, the Circle, or on the outskirts of campus. It's the largest vendor in the Grove, yet 7 South manages to keep to know each customer personally by name. 7 South typically sells out every game, so visit their site today to secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site, 7SouthTailgating.com, or you can reach them by cell, 662-321-1682.
So let's move on for now to players yesterday. Again, we got Breland, we got Shea, and Javon. Shea was the interesting one because typically Shea seems at ease enough in press conferences, handles him pretty well. I thought yesterday, to his defense, something he did do well yesterday because you want to be careful with words, is he kind of took 2 or 3 seconds before every answer. I noticed more of a gap between question and answer from Shea yesterday.
Yeah.
I think he was more calculated. He just didn't look comfortable. He did not look...
No, can you blame him?
He did not look happy to be there. He did not look... He just seemed fidgety, really, is kind of the word that comes to mind. At some point, he was asked about any thoughts to transferring. He didn't really answer the question. He gave an appropriate answer, but he didn't really answer the question.
He and Matt Luke both got a question yesterday that was kind of pointed. I asked Matt Luke about South Carolina.
Yeah.
And got a very political answer, which good for Matt. He didn't want a particular answer it, but he didn't want to shoot it down, and he wasn't going to tell an untruth. Shea was asked a question yesterday that he didn't want to answer, and so he kind of didn't answer it. But you know what, Chase? He didn't tell an untruth. He didn't say, no, I'm here. This is where I'm going to be. I don't think he knows that right now. He has questions. And this isn't what he signed up for. Ole Miss has to kind of re-recruit him this fall. And they've got to get through this NCAA thing. I mentioned this on the board yesterday. Alabama, through back channels, is recruiting Greg Little in case it's a two-year bowl ban. Can you imagine how many people through back channels are recruiting Shea Patterson?
As many as possible. I mean,
name them. They're all recruiting him.
Or anyone who believes they have a realistic shot, put it that way.
And I'm sure there's a lot of frustration. Here's a kid who could have gone anywhere in the country.
Literally.
Anywhere in the country. He comes here, and he's been here for basically 15, 16 months. There's two NOAs.
Two head coaches.
Two offensive coordinators.
And really three coordinators because Hugh's a coordinator too.
Tumult. One of the recruiting pitches to Shea was that Cam Akers would be in his backfield. Hey, you're going to probably redshirt. Well, he didn't redshirt. Lost a year of eligibility for three games. Anybody wish they had a do-over on that now? A lot there. A lot to throw at a 19, 20-year-old kid.
Yeah, look, even if he's fully committed to the program this year, it's still a lot to deal with. I mean, it's stuff in your head, and I'd be frustrated at 33. A 19-year-old's going to be kind of pissed off, even if he's not really thinking about going anywhere.
Yeah, he's mad. Don't blame him. And so what he said later was, "Hey, I'm looking forward to playing this season with my teammates."
Yeah, he gave his first Twitter comment yesterday. After not really saying anything, or not saying anything at all, not really. And then last night, or at some point yesterday afternoon, I'm pulling it up. 10 hours ago, we're taping at 8:39 a.m., so 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock last night.
Yeah.
Excited to play the game I love with my brothers this season for this university, the city of Oxford, and Rebel fans everywhere, and then the red and blue dots because Ole Miss doesn't have a animal emoji for their mascot.
This season.
Yeah. I don't know how to take that. Yeah. I'm not necessarily picking apart his words.
I'm taking it just at face value. I'm going to play this season. We'll see what I read into that, and then we'll see where it goes. We'll see what happens. Let's see who the coach is. Let's see who the offensive coordinator is. Let's see what the sanctions are. Let me see how I feel. Let me see which of my teammates, if it's bad, are going to stay. Who's going to leave? A lot there. There's a lot to unpack. And when fans say you're picking it apart too much, maybe so.
Yeah, it literally could just mean the season's coming up and I'm playing the season. I mean, it's kids not making sure they're completely vernacular.
But he's not a typical kid. He's a little more measured with his words.
He's sharp.
He thought about that tweet before he hit send. I'd be willing to bet. He stared at that screen for a little bit before he hit the send button.
It's been spread around pretty good. About 2,400 reactions to this point. Or engagements, I guess.
If the sanctions are bad, there are going to be defections. And you can't blame them. They would have walked into a situation that's not what they bargained for. If the sanctions aren't bad, I think a kid like Shea Patterson stays. I think guys rally a little bit differently.
Well, because if they're not bad, that means it's only a one-year bowl ban and he doesn't have the ability to transfer without penalty. So it makes no sense.
No sense at all. That's why I keep saying to people when everyone talks about the season, there's really only one game that matters. That truly matters. And it's in Indianapolis or wherever. It could conceivably be in a different place, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Go wherever?
They could do it wherever everybody can get together. Do it in Kansas City. Wherever there's a hotel with a big boardroom.
There's a lot of those.
There's a lot of those.
Do it in Birmingham.
You could do it in Birmingham.
We were in one of those the other day.
Mm-hmm.
We were in multiple of those, actually, the other day.
So anywhere where you can do it, it makes sense.
And some of that might depend on when the thing is,
yeah,
on what makes sense.
So they're going to play a big game in TBA at a time TBD. Mm-hmm. And it's going to shape everything. Because that's the bottom line. Now we really know that when these sanctions come down, sometime, let's say, late October, there's either going to be one hell of an exhale and almost like a joy, almost like a cause for celebration, mm-hmm, or it's going to be tumult, total despair, one or the other. And that's going to come down during the year. I mean, that's one of the reasons Matt Luke has to, from a program standpoint, I think he's really fit for it. He has to be a rock. Because there's going to be a day when potentially he has to walk into a locker room or a team room and say, hey, here are the sanctions. We've got to finish the season out, and I need to talk to you guys. There's a lot to get to.
It's, again, kind of picking apart body language, but it's multiple occasions of this now, including media days and everything else. I do sense it's not really a negative on anybody else either. I'm trying to think how exactly I want to phrase this. I do sense that Shea either is intrigued by or is happy with the direction that Phil Longo brings. I do feel like he peps up talking about Longo.
I thought it was...
Shea is kind of a football nerd.
Yeah.
And Phil is too, in a good way. I don't mean that derogatory at all.
Like being a gym rat.
I mean, like what we always talked about, Shea Patterson, he was the perfect robot to go to IMG Academy.
Yeah.
Football, 24-7, we're going to play football.
Yeah.
Longo's kind of like that too. He's got a little mad scientist about him from an offensive standpoint.
Yeah.
I think they mesh really well.
I do
and
too.
It seems like Shea's pretty happy about that part of it.
I thought it was interesting yesterday that Shea Patterson was asked a Hugh Freeze question. And his answer was, I'll tell you what I read into it.
Well, it was.
What I read into it was, man, y'all are overplaying that. That's what I read into it.
His the way he opened that answer. Let me find it, because it caught me off guard a little bit. Player quick hit. Sorry, point of message.
No, you're okay.
Right now, I'm just praying for Coach Freeze. We had no influence on what happened.
And the body language was dismissive.
Shoulder shruggish.
Yeah. Asked about Longo, and he lit up a little bit.
He did. He said the right things about Matt Luke and lit up on Longo.
Yeah. Well, he likes Matt Luke.
Yeah, sure. It's hard not to like Matt.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. I respect him. That's what I wrote the other day. Matt Luke is respected. Matt Luke is that restaurant that you know what you're going to get every single time, and that's what you get. And it is served the exact same way every single time, and you're cool with that to this point in his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're going to get. You're going to get an honest day's work, and he's going to expect the same out of you. And if you give it to him, good. And if you don't, you will hear about it. Period. People can pick apart technique and the way things might be taught or whatever, but the overreaching thing, kind of heard this from Robert Conyers' dad. Accountable. He will be accountable, and he expects you to be accountable. And if you are accountable, you're going to get along. And if you're not, you're not.
And he's going to give you energy and enthusiasm that's not fake, because there is fake energy and enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah, lots of it.
He shows up and likes what he does every day.
His will be real.
Yeah, so. We'll go to CJ in a second, and then we'll come back and talk about some of the media stuff, some of the stories from yesterday. Before we get to CJ, podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Services include landscape design and installation, landscape lighting, irrigation installation, maintenance, and turf. They do holiday lighting during the holiday season. They've added skeeter beaters, a mosquito spraying service as well, serving all of North Mississippi. So if any of that is something you're interested in, 662-607-7773, mastercutsalon.com. And when you sign an annual contract and tell them about the podcast, First Cut is on them.
Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair, and you can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, ComerHeatingAndAir.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide. OUB offers all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Now, CJ Johnson on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
All right, CJ, here we go. I want to get your thoughts on what happened on Thursday night. I guess, where were you when you got the news, and what was your reaction?
I was at home. I was in my apartment. And, man, when I first saw it, my initial reaction was, wow. It was unbelievable there for a minute. But, you know, sometimes we all fall short of glorifying God. And I think it'd be good for him to use it as a lesson, for him to become a better person. I think he's dealt with a lot of adversity publicly, and I feel sorry for his family, and his kids. But I think him personally, he'll be able to get through it because he's been through things like this where people's, you know, talked about him and said some things that he didn't like. It was true, or maybe it was not true, but you know, it is what it is, and man, just a bad situation.
Obviously, anyone, whether it's in politics or coaching or anything else, when you are that public about faith and that kind of thing, you make yourself a target. Did you ever sense with him that that it was disingenuous?
No, I tell people this all the time. Like, I get this question a lot from family and just people who I come in contact with. Who's just curious to know about him. I've never seen him inside the building not act that way. Now, what he did outside the building, obviously, you know, we weren't very aware of that, but every day he came in the building, he was that way around the players. So that's what I can say. And, you know, I don't think this defines who he is or what he stands for. I think, you know, I think he'll be able to bounce back from it.
His message – I mean, I know you were there when he first got there. It was obviously very refreshing at the time. Mm-hmm. As things went on and guys were familiar with him and familiar with the program and beginning to hear the, you know, the same things over and over, did you ever sense that the message either got stale or was less effective with players?
As a player, you know, it's kind of weird to say, but, you know, I really didn't let coach's message before the game kind of dictate how I was going to play that night, because I never really needed a pep talk going into a football game to try to play to win. So, you know, those pep talks and things like that before a game, none of those things really affected me because I had one goal every day, was to go into the building and work as hard as I could and go out and do whatever I could for the team to get a win. So, you know, just coaches talk and pep talk and things like that, you know, maybe it could have got stale to some guys, you know, or the guys who kept hearing that message over and over and over. It probably could, but me, didn't really affect me.
I know you didn't play offensive line, obviously, so you weren't, you know, with him day in and day out, but you were around Matt Luke a lot in your career at Ole Miss. What do you know of him? What was always kind of your impressions of him, and what kind of a job do you think he'll do as the interim head coach?
Well, when you asked me that question, you said that we weren't really around each other. As you asked me the question, I was just smiling because when I played D-line, me and him saw each other quite often in one-on-one pass rush, and that was kind of my deal every day. And you know, he didn't like for me to win against his guys. He always wanted me to win. And that's how competitive he was. I can remember in the fall camp of 2014, our guys, that we had gotten a red zone drill during fall camp, and the offense couldn't run the ball. And they kept throwing it up to Laquan every time he'd catch and they score a touchdown. They'd get fired up and whatnot. And so the next time we went out on the field, we hit the offense and tried to run the ball. And we hit him for like a minus 3 yard gain or something like that. And I was streaming at the offensive coaches in the sideline. I was like, y'all ain't going to be able to run the ball. Y'all better throw it. And then Matt Luke was like, y'all got to be physical. Y'all can't let a soft ass tell you we can't run the ball. We got to be physical. And I was like, all right. I said, I'm soft. I said, okay, I'm going to show you soft. And like the next play, I think I like made a tackle or sacked the quarterback or something like that, tagged off on him. And we got him off the field. But, you know, he's a competitive guy. And I think when he played as a player, I think they were under probation at the time he played.
Yeah, at the beginning, I believe that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, he's been through a similar situation as a player. You know, that's something that he can lean on. And he's got three generations of ties to the university. So, you know, from this year and maybe a couple more years until – you know, all this NCAA stuff and be done and settled. I think he'd be one of the perfect guys in the running to get that job because, you know, who's more fit to be in that position than him? And when you look back, man, when it's all said and done, the guys who came to Ole Miss and really had success, coaches who are really familiar with the state of Mississippi, I think that's something to consider when, you know, you're bringing in another guy, is to make sure that, you know, he understands, you know, the state really well, because, you know, Mississippi kids are different. And, you know, if you're not from in-state and you don't know that, coming in and recruiting and things like that, you can kind of get behind the eight ball. So it'd be a really kind of smart thing to do, to bring somebody in on Mississippi ties.
You mentioned Mississippi ties. We've asked you about your recruiting before. I'm not going to make you rehash all of that. But you know what it's like to be a major target for the two in-state programs. You were a linebacker coming out of high school. There probably aren't too many people that can relate to the Leo Lewis recruiting experience more than you. Have you kept up with it at all? What were your impressions of, or what were your thoughts about him granting an immunity interview and talking about what happened in the recruiting process?
Well, first thing that stuck out to me was I was kind of disappointed that a guy who would put himself in that situation really kind of jumped the other side of the fence and plead on me. But, you know, the main thing here is to understand that what I don't understand, I can't wrap my head around, is that how can you say that someone offered you multiple thousands of dollars, but you chose another school and you didn't get paid? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You know, and you know, the whole deal is kind of fishy. But you know, things that play out, how they play out, you know, I just think the main thing is, you know, if a kid ever gets himself in that situation, the main thing is just keep your mouth shut. That's kind of the way to go about it. You know, and I can kind of attest to that situation a little bit, because as I was getting recruited, as I said before, first time my mom met Dan Mullen, That was one of his deals with me and recruiting, was to see if Ole Miss did anything illegal. And he asked me multiple times throughout my recruitment, and I told him no. And it kind of turned my mom off of the Mississippi State situation. So, but that's a whole other story for a whole other day. But, you know, man, when you're in that situation, man, you just got to keep your mouth shut.
How much did Mississippi State talk about Ole Miss in recruiting as opposed to Ole Miss talk about Mississippi State?
They never really talked – Ole Miss never really talked about Mississippi State. LSU kind of talked about them a little bit because, you know, I was committed there, but, you know, kind of comparing the two schools and whatnot. But, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of talk from Ole Miss about my commitment to Mississippi State.
You're at East now. How's the coaching experience going?
Well, I've actually left East.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm at Florida Atlantic now. I'm a defensive.
That's right. I knew that. The reason I asked that is the
Last Chance U.
Yeah, the show came on. What was that like when the cameras were on you all the time?
It was tough, man, because, you know, walking in that situation was my first time ever coaching, and the coaches would talk a lot about, you know, really watching what you say because, you know, you're mic'd up and stuff like that, and the cameras are around, so. You really got to kind of tone down kind of some of the things you say. But there in East Mississippi, man, you know, we had some really, really talented players. But, you know, from Coach Stevens' point of view, and trust me, I definitely can attest this, we had some guys who they didn't understand it any other way. You would have to cuss. You'd have to yell. You had to scream. I mean, they just didn't get it any other way. And if you tried to be a different way, they'd take advantage of you. You know, and here it's a little bit more laid back because, you know, the guys respect me here. But, shoot, I had to start getting the guys down there to call me coach. I mean, before they said my name. So it was like, you know, it was like I'm trying to, you know, help these guys be more professional because a lot of those kids, you know, they didn't really understand toward the end of the season when it got time for them to decide which school to go to, how serious it was, and for them to take the next step to be really, really serious. So. It was a great experience, man. I got to coach some really good players. I'm looking forward to watching them play this year. We got Rodney Jackson, who's at Grambling State. You got DJ Henderson, who's at Idaho, and Chauncey Rivers at Mississippi State, and Zeke Rose at West Virginia, and Tim Bonner's obviously here with us. So, man, I'm Cam Carter's at Pitt. You know, I'm excited, man, to see those guys go out and kind of. Chase their dream, man. It'd be fun to watch.
What's Lane Kiffin like?
He's awesome, man. I love working for him. He's a great guy. He's very energetic. He really kind of stays on the younger guys. He's always giving us a hard time. It's just fun, man. Plus, being in Boca is a big bonus.
I was going to say, it's kind of a fun place to hang out. Boca Raton, Florida. A little expensive, but a fun place to hang out.
Oh, definitely. We got an airport right next to our football facility, or our athletic facility. It's kind of fun, man, just sitting there in practice and jets are taking off and planes are landing and all that kind of stuff. I think Trump's plane flew in, I think it was about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. That was kind of cool. But, you know, it's fun, man. Boca's fun. We're kind of putting a really good team together, trying to get these guys, get us to a bowl game. You guys have been 3-9 the last 3 years, so it's a difficult, you know, challenge, and I'm ready to embrace it. I'm ready for the season to start. We had a great off season. Our guys really did a lot of great things, and I think we should be shooting at 6 wins to get a bowl game.
You've been doing this a little while now. Do you think this is your life's calling? Do you want to go into coaching on a permanent basis?
Oh yeah, definitely, man. I think so. You know, I really love being around the game of football. And unfortunately, while I was at East, I was still kind of working out a little bit, hoping I kind of got another shot. Coach Monty Kiffin, me and him sit and talk ball sometimes. He asked me, he always. So I wonder why you're not on the roster. He's like, you're a smart football player. You know a lot of ball to be as young as you are. He's like, you should be playing ball. But you know, I was like, coach, you know, I'm kind of beat up. I need to have another knee surgery. same knee I hurt. Yes, Florida still quite not right. So I'm going to try to get that done here in the next couple of months, kind of after football season, and kind of rehab a little bit again.
Last thing, it's been a couple of years. Your Yankees are 51-46 as we tape this, 2.5 behind Boston in the AL East.
That's right.
You're gonna have meaningful August and September baseball.
That's right, man. I mean, it's been a couple of years since we've had that, but you know, the crazy thing is about the last couple of years is that nobody around the organization has never really been talking about us rebuilding. I think that's been taking place the last couple of years. Everybody's been so caught up in DJ retiring, so that's kind of been the theme. But, you know, while he was retiring, the year before he was retiring, you know, we weren't a very good baseball team. So now that, you know, we're strengthening the bullpen, last time we had a bullpen is strong. We kind of made a run in the World Series. So hopefully if we can get right the hot time in August, man, we can go win this one.
Well, CJ, I really appreciate the time. Good luck in Boca Raton this season, and we'd love to stay in touch.
Oh, yeah, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Our thanks to CJ for joining us on the Oxford Exxon podcast. He joined us via the Rebel Locker Room hotline, the Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It's the place to go to get all of your officially licensed gear, all the colors, all the styles. It's right there at the Rebel Locker Room as you prepare for the Ole Miss football season. Speaking of the Ole Miss football season, you can get Ole Miss football tickets, men's basketball tickets as well at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. Podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. If you're looking to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi, give Michael a call. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in our state. You can check out his site, gotland.com, got-land.com. There's a lot there, but know this, the land market's very hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he says he doesn't deserve it. 662-719-3967 is his number. You can visit his Facebook page or you can send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Right Way Meds. Okay, now it's Springs, not your typical pharmacy. They deliver your medicine to your door. Don't have to worry about taking the trip to pharmacy every month, every week. I go way too much myself. Probably need Right Way Meds. Also, they can help out your compliance numbers if you're a doctor or medical provider, so use them for that. Remember, they can help save lives as well, because not only do they deliver it, comes with strip packets for you to take the first dose of the day, next dose ready when you are. Again, find out more, rightwaymeds.com. So, like you said, Ross has a pretty good press conference with us later in the day. Multiple media outlets all publish some semblance of the same story across multiple fronts. Dan Wolkin at USA Today, Pat Forty with Yahoo Sports, Mark Schlabach with ESPN. That's the one we knew was coming for sure, ironically, not the one in our own company. And then Dan Wetzel added a column as well that had a different slant to it. But all pretty much within an hour or two of one another, somewhere in that stretch yesterday afternoon. ESPN quoting Steve Robertson liberally, doing not really a profile on him, but kind of a story that gives a lot of information on, look, if you are from Dubuque, Iowa, I do get the intrigue of the story, because I think Neil and I are so close to it every day that we don't step back and go, wow, this shit's nuts. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't probably appreciate what we're in the middle of quite as much as the person who doesn't understand it. So
I'm beginning to appreciate just how nuts it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't really until I read yesterday, and then I had a buddy who lives out of state text me and go, what in the hell is going on down there? And I'm like, yeah, how much time you got? There's no text message that's going to explain this one to you.
I think the advantage I have compared to you in this is that I don't know as many people as you do. I don't know many Mississippi State people. I don't get that stuff except on Twitter, where my Twitter profile's really grown in the past few days. With a lot of Mississippi State fans, I get a lot of interaction or attempted interaction from them. They're an aggressive lot, but I just don't have some of the ties to it that you do. So I probably see it differently. And I've apologized to the state of Alabama on numerous occasions over the past couple of years. And I feel like I don't do it enough. Because I was very critical of Alabama, the culture there, the way that, like, when you went to the school, the kids had to pick and stuff like that. And I feel, again, state of Alabama, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I was wrong. You're not nuts. Well, maybe you are nuts. In fact, you are nuts.
But you got to move over at the family reunion. There's a new drunk uncle in town.
But Mississippi is criminally insane. Mississippi makes you guys in Alabama look really pleasant, actually. Almost charming in comparison.
Yeah, we're at like the padded wall point around here.
Oh, no, we're past that. The walls are padded. The little thing is on the face so you can't
bite. Hannibal Lecter thing?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And I mean, we're straight jackets. Alabama, meanwhile, I mean, they're nuts.
We're wearing faces over here.
But they're I'm sorry. I was overly critical of you. I should have seen what was coming. Carry on.
It's my favorite line at the end of the movie. He's like, I'm having a friend for dinner. Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
So, okay. 40 is quoting mostly Thomas Mars, nuts attorney. Wolken, was it Mars too? They're kind of running together, but either way, same kind of stuff. And then Wetzel wrote a story saying that because Nutt is alleging that Ole Miss used the media to spin a false narrative and to keep the recruiting class together, that all 16 and 17 signing class members should be free to transfer without penalty immediately.
That's ridiculous.
Well, my biggest problem with Wetzel's column, because I read it, and from a media standpoint, just from a writer standpoint, I went, you know, if that's fine-tuned correctly, it's not the worst take, because that's going to get tons of engagement from both sides and really piss a lot of people off, and you're going to do your job today.
Yeah.
Because it's like this moral thing where people are going to kind of look on the outside and go, hey, that makes all the sense in the world. When you break it down from a more nuanced perspective, it falls apart a little. But A, with being – this is all in relevance to the 2016 NOA at the beginning of the year. At that point, there was nothing really in that stupid thing. So there wasn't going to be a bowl ban based off that first NOA. So saying that all those things happened based off those conversations is disingenuous. But anyway, I'm not really worried about that column. That wasn't the point of yesterday for the most part. Mark was in Oxford yesterday. We saw him.
Yeah, he was in Starkville Saturday.
Yeah.
Part of Sunday. I missed his call Sunday. I was supposed to go watch the Cubs-Cardinals with him Sunday night, and his call slipped through the cracks.
Oh. So what did you kind of make of all of it? Because, again, they all kind of said the same. It was explaining things. And here's the funny part about this is nobody's necessarily saying that Steve is not a flawed figure by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
He did find the number.
He did.
And he has been extremely careful. It's kind of what I was thinking about last night when I was reading through all of it, talking about it with some people. He's been extremely careful to be above board completely from a legal standpoint and how he approaches this reporting.
He has. I kind of owe Steve a little bit of an apology here. It was my understanding that he and the attorney in Little Rock, whose name is escaping.
Thomas Marsh.
Thank you. Wow, how do you forget Marsh? It's been a long week. That they were working in conjunction. And they were.
That is accurate. That was confirmed.
That was confirmed. I was told by the same people that it was that the story was being shopped to national media members. And it was, but by Mars, not by Steve.
Yeah, Mars told Logan, 40, and some other people.
In the event that you're listening, I apologize. I understood that he went on a rant on me. That's fine. I've not listened to it. Frankly, there's nothing anybody can say that would be all that nasty about me that I haven't heard before. So I'm okay with that. He doesn't owe me any apology. I should apologize to him. He did not chop that story to national people.
You can Mars use, did. You can use a lot of adjectives here. It's probably a sourcing thing that everybody published their stories at the same time. And look, here's the thing, too. Ole Miss, I saw some message boarders and different people go, oh, that's terrible. No, that was the best thing in the world for you. You'd much rather them all come out at the exact same time than spread out over a five-day period.
Probably what happened, and I don't know this.
No, we're speculating, but the way media works, this makes the most sense.
It's possible that they all were talking to Mars, and they all generally agreed on a moratorium on quotes until a certain time.
Mm-hmm. Everybody jump at 3 p.m. or whatever.
Yeah, that's, or, hey, you can't run these quotes until 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock Central or whatever. So there's an assumption that this was a coordinated attack. I don't really buy that as much as I think it was a moratorium on quotes so that people would have an opportunity to write.
And to people's defense, if you're not in journalism, you had no idea that's how anything works.
Sure, sure. I can see why people are like, oh my God, they're all working in conjunction. Nah, probably.
But
not.
If I'm going to have 12 stories written about me, let them all come out at once.
Oh, at the exact same second.
Yeah. Let's do this one time. Because they're just all going to flood together and say the same thing, and it is what it is.
Now, let's talk about the general message.
Okay.
Dan Wilkins' column, Dan wrote his as a column.
Yeah.
Was essentially.
Oh, that's what that, okay, yeah. I kind of forgot Wilkins' column, but I read it. Okay.
It was essentially saying, what did Ole Miss know and when did they know it? Well, I wrote this on Sunday night that's going to come up. Okay, well, it's up.
So half a day.
It's a legitimate question. It is. It is a legitimate question. It's one that I wish Ole Miss, from its perspective, would be more aggressive with answering. I understand they don't want to because of their agreement with Hugh Freeze. But you and I both know perception becomes reality. And if you don't meet this, the perception's going to become, well, you knew that Hugh Freeze had issues and you didn't do a damn thing about it. When I know, and that's the reason I made the message board post last night. It's not fair to say that. Now, if you're Ole Miss and you're being asked these questions by national people and you don't answer them, or you don't answer them in some degree of thoroughness, well, that's the way it comes across. That you knew and you didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, Ole Miss looked into it.
And they did. They looked into it, I know for a fact, as early as last November.
Okay. And then again, early 17.
And then early 17, and I would assume, and I'm assuming, but it's a pretty safe assumption, that throughout this spring, things popped up again. No, I'm not assuming. I actually know it for a fact, now that I think about it.
Ross Bjork probably really wants that quote back from that Monday gathering last week.
Oh, I would think so.
About Freeze and the culture of the program.
I would think so. It's my understanding they didn't have the pattern in front of them of Freeze's phone usage until Tuesday. From a timing standpoint, it was unfortunate. I'll be honest, I understand why Wilkin ran that quote. It's Wilkin's way of saying as late as Monday, they were supporting this guy in a very public way.
Mm-hmm.
And like I wrote, if you cancel the Rebel road trip, well, then, boy, every alarm goes up.
Yeah, of course.
The thing
is, you can be more measured with words.
The thing is, I went back and read our text conversations.
Okay.
Sunday and Monday, alarms were up. Way up.
More so than was realized at the time.
In hindsight, they should have canceled those two stops. That's hindsight.
Yeah.
I'm not judging them on it. I'm simply saying, in hindsight, I understand why they didn't.
But until Ole Miss, and maybe they don't, because like you said, there's requirements from the way the Freeze thing ended from a resigning standpoint.
Right. And he fought it till 5:30 on that Thursday.
Yeah. But it's going to continue to be a narrative and a perception
that they need to address,
that
Chase.
That they didn't address, that they did not look into his past sufficiently, and that they supported him potentially knowing what was to come.
And here's their problem. They didn't know about, and I believe this, okay? You make sure you listen and tell me, no, Neil, I disagree. Disagree.
Yeah.
I don't think they knew anything about calls to escorts until at the earliest, the Tuesday night of Media Days. Maybe Wednesday morning.
within that 12 to 14 hours either way. Okay, sure.
People say, well, you should have been going through his phone records. Well, I think people did go through his phone records, but you didn't know to be looking for escort services and massage parlors. And so if someone tells you, and I'm taking a little leap here, that's a recruiting call. That's a personal call. I called a buddy of mine.
Okay. Detroit area code.
I mean, coaches. Coaches know people everywhere. Oh, yeah, I used to work with old Jimmy. He's over there at Kent State now.
Yeah.
He's at Toledo now. I mean, that's coaches. I talked to so-and-so. He's in the CFL. That is coaches.
Yeah.
That's any of us, right? We work with people, and now they're scattered all over
the
country.
Dude, from Eastern Michigan called me, and we were just discussing Ypsilanti.
We were just catching up, talking a little offense.
Ask if he's going to go to that clinic next month.
Yeah. How's your mom and them?
Yeah.
So people said, well, they should have been looking for that. Well, that's not fair.
I mean, to require that is to require, and look, it's your prerogative, to Google and look into literally every number the man called and received every day.
And nobody wants to do that.
Well, just time and
right.
personnel standpoint.
You have to have a suspicion to start doing that.
They went into this looking for specific things and did not find them.
And so now for them to address Hugh Freeze, they put themselves in an awkward position because you have to address alleged infidelities, which means you have to address it with other people. Again, we're not talking about Neil McCready's college experience. We're talking about people. So how do you do that? And you certainly can't do that in the media. One, because it's wrong. Two, because it would be a really good way of getting your ass sued. So I don't know how they go from here. I do think they need to be more publicly aggressive in their response to these claims. That, hey, what did you know? Well, I'll tell you what we knew. We didn't know anything. But we heard things, and we looked into them.
However, they can't give specificity.
Right. And we're not going to get into specifics. But, yes, we heard things.
And I get why the alarm bells went off. Look, I mean, there was a quote from somebody when Morris says, look, this isn't junior high. We're in federal court. I'm taking everything I can take against them at this point.
Yeah. Well, I understand why Morris did what he did.
I do get how the alarm bells go up when they find the one call. And then Ole Miss goes, well, it was a missed dial, it was a butt dial, it was whatever. Oh. And you go, okay, we just happened to grab the 3-day period where it happened? Maybe so, but that would be very unlucky for you.
Yeah. Lee Tyner's response to Mars in writing was overly officious. Oh, we've looked into it and that's what it was. Stop.
You Biden nut was the cherub in this that wanted nothing done?
Yes and no. I've heard one other thing specifically that would lend me to go yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Houston's an egomaniac. I'm sure there is a part of Houston Nutt that actually believes the reason he's not in coaching today is because Ole Miss put out a narrative that he was responsible for the first NOA.
And that those 80 days supersede everything else for the last 5, 6, 7 years.
You and how often have you and I, Chase Parham, talked about perception and reality?
Yeah.
If you're a bit of a egomaniac, and he is, and you believe in your own mind something that strong, it might as well be your reality. When you recruit a high school star, you are recruiting an NFL three-year and out.
Of course.
Even if he's not. He thinks he is, so you might. That's his. If you told me that's Houston Nutt's reality, I'd buy that completely.
Yeah, that works.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I buy it. I buy the him. Houston's not a confrontation guy, so I don't think he set out to destroy Hugh Freeze's life. I think he set out to get some money and to get Ole Miss to apologize so that in his mind he could go get the Missouri State job. That's what I think.
I think he'd take one of those gigs.
Today, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Because I think there for a while he wouldn't have taken anything below the Power 5 level.
No, I think he wants to coach.
Okay.
That's all he knows.
At some point, just get back in it, however yeah. that
put
that
me
is.
On the practice field. Let me get my goofy hat and start telling goofy stories.
Hey, my stories will be new. These yeah. people won't know me.
Hold the rope. Let's all hold the rope. One heartbeat.
Spell fun, W-I-N.
They remember November.
Put the names back on the jersey so the mamas can see them.
Yep. Circle of trust. Stay in the circle.
Circle of untrustables, is that what it was?
Yeah. Land of the untrustables.
Land of the untrustables.
Yeah.
Do you think you still wear the hat?
Yeah.
Do you think you still wear the hat?
Yeah, of course. Just change the little sash on that hat and you're good to go.
Whatever the mascot is, throw a logo on there.
Mm, yep.
It is a very efficient hat from a sun
yeah,
standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It protects your face and your neck.
Werner wore one occasionally. Had kind of a straw hat.
Yeah.
Is that it? That's the only coach I can remember the last few years.
That's the only I can remember.
Grant would wear his bucket hat.
Yeah.
Freeze had a bucket hat.
Yeah. Protect the ears.
Yeah. I don't recall Matt wearing much headgear. Some caps occasionally, but not much else.
He wears a visor some, doesn't he?
Does Matt wear a visor or some?
I can't remember. Maybe.
He always loses his voice.
Yeah, he's a screamer.
Talker. Yeah.
He's passionate.
Yeah.
He'll have to decide how he wants to handle that part of it.
Yeah.
You're the head guy now. He did catch me off guard. I did almost a double take when he walked in the suit yesterday.
Suit, shaved?
Yeah, yeah. Just at first I was like, man, he looks a lot younger. Almost had a baby face look to him because I'm so used to him having the stubble.
Yeah. Looked younger. Looked like he lost a little weight.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
Had the exact right suit on, right tie, everything.
You in the
you send a message with your clothes on those deals, and he was.
If you're
hit that down,
if you were right the Ole Miss head coach, you would never wear anything but navy and charcoal and red and blue ties.
Yep,
and white shirts with maybe a light blue mixed in.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it. Ever
stay there. It's your lane.
Yeah.
You can change up the tie a little bit, but always go red, blue, some silver.
Yeah, just some sort of accent there.
Yeah, just, you know, wear your lapel pin.
Would you be the flashy jacket guy like Ross?
At times, maybe.
Okay.
Mix it up.
He was just in the polo yesterday.
Well, Ross is really fit, too, so you can pull that off. You know, once you get a little bigger and you get a little heavier, you can't pull off. Like, if Ross were to put 25 pounds on all of a sudden,
yeah,
that jacket wouldn't look as good.
Right.
I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to wear stuff like that, you got to it really tailored. You got to be really fit.
Yeah.
To pull that off. You can't do it otherwise. And there's a place for that jacket, and there's a place for it not to be. He's pretty good about that.
Yeah. Introductory press conference would not be the place for that jacket.
No, no, no. That's where you also wear the navy blue or the charcoal.
You pull it out on the casual Rebel Road trip stop where we're just hanging out.
Yeah, we're just chilling, having a conversation.
Yeah. It's fair.
What else you got?
Well, I got a couple more things. I'm actually going to save those for tomorrow.
What are they? Tease them, because I'm curious.
Well, nothing. I just wanted to run through this because it is relevant. You know how the SEC always test a lot of new rules and stuff? They came up with a lot of new baseball stuff
yesterday. The catcher, the wireless catcher.
Yeah, they're going to do wireless headset stuff from catcher to pitcher.
I wonder how that's going to work when the catcher takes a ball off the mask and it knocks the thing out.
They'll just take it off for both teams, like a radio goes out in football, and they'll be old-timey.
Yeah. Old-timey.
Yeah. Old-timey.
Like back in 2017.
They're going to review a lot more stuff, too. They're adding 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different things they're going to review. Review as many things as possible. Jesus.
Yeah.
Like I know there's some people that go, no, it is not the integrity of the game. Even if they get it wrong, don't review. And I look at it and go,
no,
it's
no, no.
2017. Just get the call right.
Get it right.
That extra 2.5 minutes is not changing the day.
No.
We're good.
I like Major League Baseball's review. And they've got it this year where you have 30 seconds to decide whether to review or not. And I do like that. The manager can't just stand up on the top step for 2 minutes and then go, oh, no, we're good.
Tag ups, placement of runners, thank God. interference on breaking up double play, some of the things they can look into moving forward.
Good. It's good news for the officials. It helps them do their jobs better.
This is interesting. The committee recommended making bat testing a regular season rule starting in the 2020 season. The rationale for the delay is to give schools time to purchase the equipment to conduct the test, which cost around $1,500. There's a world outside the SEC, Neil, where you are delaying something 2 years because of $1,500.
ULM says hi.
Yeah. Well, in baseball especially, there's some schools that go, hey, I gotta find that. I don't know. Whereas Ross would just hand Mike a check in the morning, and it'd be fine by 4 p.m. tomorrow. But anyway, I don't know. That's it. I got my wisdom tooth out the other day. We'll close here.
Yeah.
Got my wisdom tooth out. It's been bothering me a little bit. Probably going to run for the first time today. You've had these moments, too, when you either see yourself or somebody says something to you that they don't really think about but kind of catches you off guard a little bit.
Yeah.
Did that Facebook Live video the other day, and somebody was like, oh, you've been lifting weights. You look kind of swollen. And I went, ooh.
Yeah.
Not a good sign. Not swollen.
Made you want to go run.
Yeah, it was one that kind of hit me a little bit. I was like, oh, man, I don't know. And my wife's been trying to get me on Plexus. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I did the pink drink for a few days. It's okay. I'm thinking about doing it.
See, it's really helped her from like an inflammation, like a lot of different stuff. And I've seen a difference where I'm like, well, maybe. Like, because normally I don't get off on a lot of those things. They don't really do much for me. I'm typically against anything because it's not really a diet thing as much as kind of digestive health, kind of some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helped to the point if she's even been trying to like get behind it from a marketing selling standpoint or whatever. And I'm like, I might jump in on this and help her the process and whatever. So I was fairly impressed by it. I may give that a shot. So I didn't know you would.
I've done some of the pink drink a little.
Really?
Yeah.
You hadn't jumped into the whole probiotic deal.
Thought about it.
Really?
Yeah, but no, not yet. But I'm thinking about it as I get a little chunky.
Did you do it long enough to think you saw a change of any sort?
No.
Just how you feel or anything?
I just did it a couple of days to see if it would
spark you a little.
Well, if it would be an appetite suppressant a little bit, and it was. Like I.
Yeah. So if y'all do that, let me know. I'd be kind of curious. If you want to get into it, you can also help me out by emailing me. I'll be happy to take your order as well. But yeah, I don't know. I saw that and I thought, yeah, I might need to run, Chase. You might need to do something because swollen is not typically an adjective that you would like referred to yourself if you are not been in a fight with Mike Tyson. So I should probably get into that. We'll talk that. I want to talk Derrick Rose's, or was it Derrick Rose? Whoever had the really stupid statement yesterday? Wasn't Derrick Rose, was it? Yeah, it was Derrick Rose. About how he sits out because he didn't want to be sore later. Was it Derrick Rose?
Who I don't remember that one.
Hold on.
I spent all of my NBA time yesterday on Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, Derrick Rose. You know, remember the athletic rant? I just want to come back to it because he got traded yesterday. It's from a couple years ago where he says that he sits out all the games because having graduations and meetings to go to later in life, he doesn't want to go to those all sore. So that's the reason he sits out. Whatever. He's now a Cleveland Cavalier. Every MVP in the NBA since 2009 now plays for the Warriors or the Cavaliers.
Or the Thunder.
Yeah. Maybe it was like finals MVP or something. Maybe I saw the stat. Yeah, whatever it was everybody plays for those two teams since whatever year it was.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 2009 until 2016.
Until Russell won.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Maybe that's what it was. So, we'll find some more guests throughout the week. I don't know who we'll talk to. We'll talk to somebody, though.
What'd you think of the Carmelo Anthony to Oklahoma City rumor that Bill Simmons started?
You tell me.
Be interesting. Make it work. They can make it work financially, yeah. Enos Kanter and then some pieces.
They have money to spend.
Well, they're already in the tax, so they could take his $27 million. They could unload Kanter's $18 million, McDermott, Singler, Bulls second-round pick that they owe next year. They could make it work where the money would basically be the same. They're already in the tax.
Okay.
Third highest payroll in the NBA.
That's kind of incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. Russell, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony in the same series against the Warriors would be must-see TV if you like
fun,
basketball.
Fun, if nothing else.
If you like hoops, that would be must-see TV. He wants to go to the Rockets. The Rockets' problem is they can't do it without trading Ryan Anderson. And the Knicks look at Ryan Anderson and go, wait a minute, You want us to give you Carmelo Anthony. We got to take his $60 million? No. And then there's no other thing to do.
Yeah. All right. Thanks to CJ today. Again, Walker Jones yesterday, if you missed that, that was good stuff. And then a lot more rebelgrove.com. More to come today. We'll also start turning our attention to fall camp a little bit here soon. So a little bit of everything, comprehensive coverage, and Russell moving to town. So that and more. Still check it out. Ole Miss 2017 is the code. You can still get rebelgrove.com free until the season opener. So do that if you haven't. We would appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.